Scripture this morning, I'll be reading from John 4:10, if you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.
Bringing some water with me. Can you live without water for a little while? It wasn't all that long ago we had a family member who was at work in the pain in his gut, and he thought he was dying, and he went through so much agony that his boss says, "You need to go to the hospital." And his wife, they called his wife and they said, "There's something seriously wrong with your husband. Take him into ER. He was dehydrated. Without water, your body cries in pain. You can't live without water. And so I'm going to put that down there, and who knows, I might need to drink some water. I've been doing all that singing. I love to sing to Jesus. It's wonderful. So let's talk to him. I want to ask him to come be with me before I share. Father, you are the living water. I'm thirsty for you right now. And there's people in this audience that can be thirsting for you too, Lord. And you're the living water that promises to give us that water that we won't thirst the world, but we would just thirst for more of you. So, Father, anoint my lips, speak through me. Thank you for your promises that what you have done, you will do with weak vessels. In Jesus' name, amen. It started out, actually, I don't know, a couple years ago, when I was out on a walk. I love to walk. That's my therapy. And on my walk, I said to the Lord, "I would love, Lord, to just bring one soul to you. Make a difference in one person's life this year." And the Lord and I have conversations that we talk back and forth. And I was sharing with a gal in Pocatello, maybe the reason that I have this close walk with Jesus is I've always been a lonely person. And when you're lonely and you're talkative, you got to talk to somebody. And so I chat to the Lord all the time. And I just have this conversation and I sort of hear him in my head and we just chat back and forth. And the Lord said to me when I said to the Lord, "Can I just make a difference in one soul?" And he said, "Why so few?" And I went, "Well, Lord, I thought one was big." And he says, "Well, why so few?" And I said, "Okay, the Lord says expect and ask for big things." So I said, "Lord, how about 100? I thought, "Whoa, that's like out of this world." And then I came here and I spoke at this church, and someone in the audience said to me, "Did you know there's a place in the Bible that says you can ask for 1,000? 1,000? I said, "Hey, God, how about 1,000? And I thought, well, as if that could ever happen. And then my husband started having to travel, and we went to New Jersey, and I would walk looking at New York going, "Wow, there's 1,000 souls in New York, Lord. There's all these people." And I kept thinking about these numbers and being exposed. And then as I was learning, and when I was here in December and I spoke, I was learning that Jesus isn't just a savior for sinners. He's a healer. And when I started learning about how Jesus wants to heal the wounds the devil has done and inflicted on our souls, not just save me from my sins, but he wants to heal the wounds so that I can even shine more for him. Because when a wounded person keeps their wounds, you become bitter, you have issues, and I'm still not healed. How I know is, I was telling Esmond this morning on a walk, I get so tired of when someone gets too close to something I haven't dealt with, I start to react. That's how I know, oop, I got some healing that needs place. Because ask him, I can put up my dukes real quick and I'm ready to go to war. And I was like, okay, Lord, I need to have a little chat with you. We need to get some healing done. And so as I was learning about this, I told Doug, I'm longing to share this Jesus. This Jesus who says, I can touch where you hurt. Because he says, guess what? They hurt me too. They rejected me. They beat me. They abused me. I know what your wound feels like because I was wounded for you. So I could be a savior that says, hey, man, I've been there. I know what you're feeling. I know the pain. And so I said to my husband, honey, I think I'm wired weird. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, I'm dying to go on a mission trip or share him or something. And I want to share with people about Jesus. And so we were sitting in the airport in Chicago and I had the little phone and I was like looking for share him. Well, how could I do share him? And I looked at it and I'm like, man, that looks like too much work to figure out who can. And I just shut it down and said, well, put that on the back burner. And then I came here. God is so cool. He said, ask anything. And what was my thirst? I want to share him. I want to share Jesus. And so I'm here and I'm in Bobby Joe. It was your husband's funeral. So if we hadn't had the funeral that day, Glenda, that was the divine appointment. Bobby Joe's saying, oh, we're going to be doing this mission trip, and we're going to go to India. And, oh, I was in India 10 years ago, hon, or was it 15? 15. It was 15 years ago. Ooh, I'm feeling old. So, and it's like, oh, I would love it. She's like, we're going to be preaching. We're going to be talking about health. Ooh, yeah. And we're going to be telling children's story. Top. I love children's stories. Why am I going to sit there? I love stories. That's why I love the Bible. I like the stories in the Bible because the stories speak to my heart. And so Bobby Joe says, oh, well, we're looking for pastors to mentor with a student, da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm not a pastor. And then she says, well, would you like to go? I look at my husband in desperation. Honey, would you let me go? And I says, well, we don't have a job. We don't have any income. So, you know, what's the chances that I could go? She said, if God provided, would you go? That's when I looked at my husband again. Honey, if God provides, would you say yes? And I'm thinking, you can't say no. And so the Lord provided. There was even someone here at this church that provided to help. And my tears of going, I can't believe this, God. And then guess what? The devil reminded me of, honey girl, you're so broken. What do you think you can do going there with your broken body? And then fear set in. Man, the fear was so great. And only my husband who lives with me knows, even in this last week, there, just let me see something that scares me and my body will go into stuff and I couldn't even walk and I'm weeping and crying in the night. And so my body can be so fragile and I'm like, I won't have my husband there to massage out the pain. And if I take drugs, my brain will be so blurry, I won't be able to speak right. I don't know if I should go now. I'm scared. And I said, I want to practice what I've been learning. Jesus says, what do you fear? What's your worries? What's your pain? And I said, Lord, I've been scared of so much in my life, scared of failing, scared of not being good enough. My fears are so great. I want to give you my fears. I'm going to hand them to you one by one as you bring them up. I'm so scared of this. I'm afraid of not being good enough. I'm afraid I'm going to blow it, you know. And I just kept handing them over. And I says, can I have peace in exchange? And he gave me peace, guys. It was a peace I've never had. I got on that plane and I'm like, I can't even believe, because ask Doug, if I sit in the wrong chair, I'm a cripple and the pain level goes sky. Has to be just right, and the plane seats aren't just right. So I get on the plane, and I arrive in India at, 2 in the morning, you know. We're like, and we got some other people there that went too. And I'm supposed to put my fingers down to leave my print, and I don't leave prints. And the guy's like wiping my hands, he's wiping the thing. What's with you, lady? You don't leave prints, you know. And so it just started out. But I want to tell you this. Those 2 weeks, I never had 1 ounce of pain. Amen. And I was sitting in a car, like, on the way there. It's like, oh, I kept leaning. And my husband said, honey, don't do that. It would hurt your body. But, honey, we're so close to head on. I always, ooh, you know, as if it would help the car to, you know, miss the guy. I'm like, ooh, that was close. Ooh. And then one of our team hit. You know, they had head injuries. And I'm just going, oh. But it wasn't about that. But I shared that with the Indian people. If my husband had had a job, I wouldn't be here. That's why God hasn't given us a job yet. Two, he's touched my body that I can even stand here and not be in so much pain I can't talk. Yeah. And then I said, and I thought that Robinson family would be very upset with me because I am real with God. And I said to God, you know my personality? I used to hate it, but you made me this way, you know, sort of different. And it's okay. I've started accepting I'm different. So I need a translator that's going to fit my personality. Because if I have a translator who's just talks like this, and I'm over here wanting to talk to the people like this, the people are going to go, well, I want to hear what she's saying because you're pretty dull. So I'm thinking, okay, Lord, give me a translator that fits me. And oh, by the way, Lord, you know I'm sort of, and I've asked my husband, why in this way? He follows the law very easily. And to me, a law is meant to be sort of broken sometimes. I'm just sort of rebellious. And so I'm praying, Lord, I don't want a projector because it will confine me and I'd have to obey the rules and, you know, go through the slides. And I want freedom. I'm a girl of freedom. I want to share with the people from my heart and I don't want to have to stick too rigidly. So I'm praying, please, Lord, I don't want a projector. And I want the right, you know, I was asking him for the Lord to till the soil of the hearts, and I was praying all these prayers. So that first night, Bobby Jo stands up, and she starts to assign us villages, translators, where you're going. And then she erases my name, she erases everything, and she puts me in another place with another translator. And then she gets a message, oh, her husband missed his flight. We're down 2 projectors. Someone doesn't get a projector tonight. Guess what my hand did? Hey, we don't need a projector. Thank you, Lord. I was so happy. And so I said to the Robinson, and they're like, oh, no. And I said, don't be messing with my prayers. I told them, this is God for me. And they looked at me like, Darla, what are you talking about? And I said, you don't want to know what I'm praying. It might mess with you if you heard what I'm praying. And so, do you know that we had no projector till the 3 nights before we were to end, and then they decided that we should have a projector at ours, and we should show this little video. And do you know, I don't care whose computer, whose whatever came, there would not going to be one at our site. It would not work. I mean, they tried every, and they're like, Darla, this has been working the whole time, and it won't work at your site. And I'm like, God, you are too good. And so, anyway, but sharing with the people, it was just a couple nights in that I was sharing with them how the devil comes to us, usually as children. He starts when we're children, and he whispers lies. But children, we believe what our little brain tells us a lot of times. And so, and then sometimes when harm has happened to us when we're children, it hurts our identity. And so I was sharing with the women or the men too, the story of the woman caught in adultery and how her sexual abuse as a child hurt her identity. So she became a life of, you know, whatever, you know. And how the enemy hurt that. And I asked, can any of you relate? You should have seen the women's look on their faces. They were glued listening to that. They know what a stolen identity. I know what a stolen identity feel is. Trying to find yourself. Who am I? And so, but anyway, praying, asking the Lord to speak. And that night, it's like when I spoke the words, I was hearing them for the first time. And I knew without a doubt God is hearing my prayer, and he was speaking through me in a powerful way, and he was being lifted up, and the people were looking at Jesus. It was so touching that when I got in the car that night, I was just going, oh. And the pastor said, he said, Madam, he said, you just lifted Jesus up tonight. And I said, and Jesus says, if you would lift me up, I will draw what? All men. And well, that hit me, and I just kept weeping, thinking that Jesus would want to use me. But he used me. And I went to bed, and I'm just like crying, and I wake up, and I have only slept for just a couple hours, and I wake up in the middle of the night, and all I could think about was the eyes and the faces of all the people. And I said, and they would come to you and ask you to pray over them, and you put your hands on their head. What are you going to say? You know, they're telling me, here's three bananas, pray for the three bananas, because then I can have three kids. Well, I've never prayed for bananas, and bananas make children. You know, that was a new one for me. You know, I'm like, okay, this is not comfortable for me. And I'm thinking, this is what I want, Lord. I put my hand on their head. I said, save them. I want to meet them around the throne. I want to see this person in heaven. I want to see him with you. And it became this deep, passionate desire in my heart for their souls. And I woke up crying, Jesus, these are your children. I want them in the kingdom. And it became so powerful. I just was like, and then I thought, Jesus says in the Bible that he was up in the night talking to his daddy, crying for us, for our souls. It became real personal then, that Jesus has wept for you, each of you, because you're his. Amen. You're his kid. He loves you. And it was like, I've never had that kind of depth of love for someone else. And the Lord kept translating that love to those people. And they were feeling that love. And one night a gal came to me, and she spoke English actually pretty well. And I would back myself up against the stage because I'm a little claustrophobic. And when they go all the way around me, I, you know, careful, I'm going to come out like a bull. And so if I back up where I feel like I'm in control, I don't have people stuff behind me. And this gal came to me and she said, pray, my uncle's in the hospital. He tried committing suicide. And without God, he's going to die. Do I have power? And I'm like, silver and gold have I none. But in the name of Jesus, you know Jesus. You know if living is the best thing, and you know if death is the best thing. Sometimes death is the best thing. And I just said, God, it has to be you. Whatever. And so I started weeping, and I couldn't stop. And so the tears were pouring, and she was bawling, and I picked her up, and I'm holding this young girl, and we're crying together, and my nose is just pouring on my face, so I start doing the arm thing, and I had snot all over my arms, and finally I'm like, and it's not quitting? So I said, excuse me, folks, and I reached down to grab my dress up and just blew my nose in my dress and kept going. And the pastor said to me that night, Madam, what was wrong with you? Jesus cries when we cry. He has humanity. He became human. He knows pain. He cried. I wept with her because I felt her pain. When we hurt, Jesus feels our pain. He's not indifferent to it. He sheds human tears. And so it was just like, wow. And then I started thinking, when's the last time I ever cried for the people in my own city? When's the last time I cried for my own family, extended family and out? And it was just hitting me like, Father, we need to wake up. And we need to weep and claim those souls. Because Jesus says, I've already won the battle. I already paid the price. And that's what I said to them on the last night. If you're not in heaven, I'm going to find out why, because he said it's a gift. And a gift is a gift. There's no strings. And my husband and I talk about this all the time. There's no human threads in that robe of righteousness. There's none of you in it. He's saying, do you want the gift of life? I'll give it to you. Amen. And what we say is, well, don't I need to do something? Are you sure? Don't you think I should be, you know, doing this more and doing that more? And will you do those things? Yeah, but you're doing them for a different reason. The gift comes first. Amen. When you understand what God has done for you, it changes your life. And then you're saying, Jesus, you want to come into me? Really? And the devil says, no, come on. Don't you know your heritage, your past? He don't want you. And Jesus says, you want to bet your name's written in my hand? You want to see it? You're mine. I paid the price for you. You belong to me. But the devil wants us to believe that we don't. And it's, who do you want to believe? Jesus says to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You'll be saved. It's so easy, but the enemy makes it hard because what? I look at myself and I'm like, really? Me? You'd want to, you know what I'm saying? And that's why the story in John, when I was thinking of the woman at the well, we've always thought of the woman at the well, and so you tell the story of the woman at the well. But I was trying to think of this story as I was reading it. What does it tell me about Jesus? Not necessarily just her, but what does it tell me about Jesus? Because everything in this book is revealing to you the character of who Jesus is. It's not just a story. It's who is Jesus? And so I'm thinking, okay, who is he? And Doug and I talked about this morning on the walk. And I love verse 4:4. It says, now he had to go through Samaria. It's the word had. He had to go to Samaria. And I told my husband, I was thinking him saying, I had to go to Sutherland. I had to. And we talked about this morning. This morning we were thinking, you know, Jesus talked to his daddy a lot. Always in the wee hours of the morning, sometimes through the night. Because it said he lived to do the will of his father. And his father's will is, go to Sutherland. Go to Samaria. Because there's someone I want you to meet. He knows where we are. And he'll come because he's in the business of wanting to have an encounter, a relationship with us. And so Jesus is physically tired, thirsty, and he sits down by the well and he's waiting. His disciples go off because they don't, there's this, oh, Samaritans, you know, we don't have anything to do with those people. But only if we're like really hungry, we'll go get food. So they go off and Jesus is sitting there. And along comes the woman. This woman had a past. That's why she came at noon, because everyone else came in the cool of the day, in the morning or the evening. They didn't come at noon. It's hot. But does some of our past cause us to have a reputation? It really can. Sometimes one mistake in your life, and it seems like you live with that stupid mistake, whatever, the whole life. But she didn't have one mistake, right? She had multiple mistakes and things were happening. But I thought about this woman and I thought about her life and I thought, you know, this woman was looking for love. How many of you want to be loved? Right, I'm glad you raised your hand. Only one person in here wants to be loved. We're all wanting to be loved, huh? Because love makes you feel part of something and that you're accepted and that you have value because you're loved by someone. And so as she comes, you know, she's a person who's been rejected by multiple men, you know, divorces. I mean, her history's so pathetic, it don't even tell us all of it. But anyone who's been married 5 times and divorced 5 times, I would be saying, what's wrong with her? Or what kind of men was she choosing? And when she'd had enough of them, it's, you know, or whatever. You know, so you start thinking that. What in the world? So Jesus is sitting there. And this is our God, okay? You're coming to the well, and you got a past. You have a history. You come to the well. You do your own thing. You ignore the guy because, you know, he's a Jew, and Jews don't talk to people like, especially a woman. Come on, in that era. So she's minding her own business. She does her water. She puts it in the pitcher, and she goes, not even acting like he exists, and she goes to take off, and Jesus asks a favor. Will you give me a drink, please? Have you ever thought of the tone of voice he used? She just stops. And she turns around and she says, what in the world are you asking a drink from me? Hello? I mean, she just immediately goes into this, you know, we got this prejudice thing between our races and da-da-da-da-da. And she's just going, what are you asking a drink from me? So I asked my son when we were with him in Pocatello, I said, so Nathan, if you came to the well in our day, what offer, what would Jesus ask of you? What would he ask of you? And he thought about that. I don't know, Mom. So I'm going to ask you that. If Jesus was going to ask something of you today, what would he ask of you? Because I've had more time to think about it than you guys. And on all my walks and hikes and stuff, I just have been thinking about this all the time. And when I thought of water, I got this big smile. I see Jesus standing there going, hey, I have some water. I know you're thirsty. No, thanks, man. I'm into Gatorade or, you know, Boost or, you know, I like pop. I don't like water. Haven't you met people? When health classes, I do that all the time. Oh, I don't like water. Water's gross. I don't like water. And so I pictured people telling Jesus, no thanks, I'm not into water. And he says, but if you understand who's offering you this water, dude, this is, hey man, I got water that when you taste it and you drink it, everything in your life changes. And so when I thought about that, what I thought Jesus would ask Darla, would you give me a couple minutes of your time? We live in the 20th century when everything's go, 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 and, you know, it just seems like you're in this, and, sorry, Lord, I don't have time this morning. I'm too busy. I got an appointment. Woke up late. You're not important enough. Instead of saying, you know what? I can cancel that appointment because without Christ, I'm in trouble. And so Nathan looked at me, and he says, Mom, you're right. I think he would say, can I have a couple minutes with you? How many minutes does it take with Jesus to have healing? Just a second. There is this thing I read, and I loved it, and it says, at the sound of his voice. Where do you hear the voice of God, folks? Right here. This is his voice. At the sound of his voice, the spirit of, fill in the blank. For me, the spirit of fear fled from my heart, setting me free to do what Jesus asked me to do. The sound of his voice. So when she heard his voice, will you give me a drink? And they started having this little conversation. And then when he said to her, I have this living water. If you knew the gift, he said. So think Jesus talking to you. If you knew the gift of God, who it is that's asking you for this little time, you want a little time with me? I would give you something. This living water, this relationship, I'll give you this experience with God that you've thirsted for your whole life and you didn't even know it. Jesus is saying, I'll do this. And she immediately thinks of ordinary water. She goes, sir, man, give me this water so I don't have to come to the well anymore. You know, she's just thinking, she's not thinking spiritual at all. She's just thinking, oh, just give me that stuff, you know. And Jesus says, but don't you understand? Everyone who drinks this kind of water, all of us, we have to drink again. Because we get thirsty in a little bit, right? You have to constantly drink. But Jesus is saying, no, you don't get it. When you drink what I have to offer you, it will change your life. It comes into you, and then it sort of springs out where you give to others. Do you know that? If water goes in and just stays, it stagnates. If you just want to have this experience with Jesus and never share it, do you know you will not grow? You will not blossom. You will not be this tree that has this beautiful leaves and You become like a stagnant pond, and you don't grow. Jesus says no, and that's why I wanted to go share. Every time I learn something about Jesus, I want to tell someone else about what I just learned. And I tell, man, it took me 50 years to understand this about Jesus. I want to tell you when you're little, so you know. And so this experience goes back and forth. And so then Jesus, I hate to tell you, but it's true. He knows all the secrets in your life. Would you like to come up right now and have him say it in front of all of us? Hey, you want to talk about, you know? And you're like, shh. And so he did that. He said to her, Hey, would you call your husband? Could you imagine? She thought that was, I mean, this is a stranger. And he says, oh no, that's the sore spot in my life. And she thought, well, I'm not married to the guy I'm sleeping with. So I can say, oh, I don't have a husband. And she was thinking, cut it there, you know, end of story. And Jesus says, you know, you've had five husbands and the one you are sleeping with isn't your husband. And you know what? You're right. You don't have a husband. And she's like, ooh, he knew it all. I mean, he must know everything else too. I mean, he knew it all. And this is what I saw in God's character. He knows every tiny little detail about you. And he's saying, I want a relationship with you. And you're thinking, me? I mean, you know the dirty garbage on me? I mean, you know that I don't have my act together and I do this. And the Lord says, did you hear me? I want a relationship with you. That's wild. That's wild. And I imagine, because she was used to that tone of, oh, you know, so-and-so, you know, that whore that sleeps around, you know, she's, oh, you know, that's why you don't go with the women at the well at that time, because you hear them talking about you. But Jesus says, and when I understood this text, I remember calling my sister, Romans 8. I said, sis! Yeah, I finally got it. It says in the Bible, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. The key is in Christ. And so she got it. She didn't hear not even a iota of, you know, I'd like a relationship with you, but first we need to clean up. Uh-uh. What she heard is, I know, sweetheart, everything about you. I want to tell you what, I'm the Messiah. He reveals his identity to a person of that character. He will reveal his identity, he's telling, to broken people. He will reveal himself to broken people who don't have it all together. And she's like, the Messiah? No wonder why you know everything about me. Our Messiah knows everything about us. And do you know, she totally forgot about the picture. She forgot about why she was at the well. What did I tell you earlier? When something comes in, she had just took her first drink of the living water. And it was enough to say, I got to share this water with someone else. And she took off, man. She headed back to town. And the disciples had just come with their food. And remember, these were the followers of Jesus. These we call the Christians going, and what are you doing hanging out with the homeless or the, you know? And they're like, what is he talking to her for? And they're questioning this, but they're like, we'd better not ask him. Because, you know, whatever. So they just say, Lord, here's some food. Aren't you hungry? And he's like, no, I just ate. And they're looking at him like, did somebody bring you some food? I mean, they're thinking about the, did someone bring you some food and we didn't even see it? Or, and he goes, oh, no, no. My meat is to do the will of my Father. What is it that fills your soul? And he's like, no, 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 no. Well, I'm thinking of this woman. She goes back to town. And if you live in a small town, everybody sort of knows your business. And they sort of know that look you carry with you. And think of a woman who's been rejected by 5 people. She's living with someone who's not. You know, she probably didn't carry herself with this confident look. My guess was a little more shame because she'd been rejected so much. She just, you know where to go in town. You don't have to see everybody. But this time when she came into town, she was radiating and she had this glow on her face and she had energy and she's like, hey guys, you gotta come. I met this man who told me everything. And if you'd heard his tone, he loved me. He loved me. You gotta come check him out. It's the Messiah. He told me he's the Messiah. And I thought about this for days. Why they believe her? Why would you believe that kind of person? It's because when we encounter Jesus and really drink from what he offers, your family, everyone to know, what happened to you? Now, what happened to you? I mean, you got this like glow. They start asking. They saw that something truly had happened in her life. She was not who she had been. And I'm sort of this way. Hey, let's go check it out ourselves. Let's see what, I mean, look at what she's, man, this gal is different. Let's go check her, let's go check out the story. And so, and Jesus is there at the well. And he said, you know, sometimes people sow and you have to wait so long in water and then you finally get a harvest. He said, it usually takes about 4 months. He said, look, the harvest is here. And here's like the whole town coming out. Jesus wants to hang out with you. He said, hey, guys. And they said, hey, you want to come to our house for a couple days? We want to hear what you have to share. He said, I would love to. And the disciples, I'm wondering, it doesn't say, but you wonder if they're like, ooh. You know, it goes against their cultural bigotry. And that's one of the things that the Lord brought to my mind this morning that I hadn't thought of, was in India, they have a caste system. And it stinks. If you're from the lower caste, and if you marry someone in the middle class, they'll murder you. If they find out that you married out of your class, they will do something to execute you, poison you, whatever. They want you to stay in your rightful place in the scum of the earth. And so when us Americans showed up, we went to the lowest of the lowest to the lowest. And they were like, you would want to come to us? And you would want to touch us? And you would want to sing to us? You would want to hang out with us and go into our home? They were like, wow. And then some of them had this belief, which I thought was so interesting. The lighter your skin, the closer you've been to Jesus. Because he's light. He reflects on you. And so they feel like they're far from Christ because their skin is darker. Wow, boy, did I want to share with them. And I said, you know what I love about our God? He will never push you away. I want to read to you what he says in the scriptures. He's always saying, come. Come is an invitation. Come on. Hey, come on. He says in Isaiah 55:1, and I was thinking about this when I was practicing it on a walk in town. Can you imagine? I probably look like a lunatic. Come, as I'm walking. Come, come, come. If you're thirsty, come. And my son's going, Mom, they could have called the cops or something. There's a lady that probably got out of a mental institution. And it's like he says in Isaiah 55:1, come, all, he doesn't say some, all you who are thirsty. And when I looked up in the dictionary thirsty, I'm always looking up the meaning of words. It says a feeling, a strong desire or need for something. So Jesus is saying, if you got a need for something, come, come. So he says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. Jesus says, I'm the water. Come to me. You who have no money. Well, we don't have a job. We don't have a bunch of, you know, flowing in. So he says, come. You who have no money. Come. And then he says, buy and eat. I said to my honey, how do you buy and eat if you don't have money? And he's telling you, come if you have no money, buy and eat. Do you know why? He already paid for it. Jesus paid for our salvation. It's already been bought. He paid for it. And then he says at the end, come. The next text, John 7:37. Let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. Anyone. Anyone. It's an open invitation. Job 6:35, and he says, I'm the bread. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Don't you like that? You will never be thirsty. That means you won't thirst after the stuff of this world that always passes. You don't have to worry about someone breaking in because you know what? Uh-uh. And then in Revelation it says, to the thirsty, I will give you water without cost because he's already paid for it. From the spring of water of life. He's saying, ah. And then I love Revelation 22:17. He says, come so many times. Come, come, let the one who's thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the free gift, the water of life. Why are you not coming? What is keeping you back? Ask. God, what? Why am I afraid? I'll go back to that hearing his voice and do the exchange system like I did. Okay, God, I got trust issues. Okay, the Lord's saying all throughout the Bible, trust me, trust me. Well, God, I got trust issues. You know, so-and-so, you know, did me in. And I can give you the list of why I got trust issues. And the Lord says, and I love this about God. He says, have I ever made a mistake? And I smile when I hear God say that. Have I ever made a mistake? Do I ever say, oops, I shouldn't have done that? God doesn't do that. And then God says, I'm not a liar. Aren't you glad we serve a God who's not a liar? If he says it, it happens. And I love it. He says, when I speak, my words do not return to me void. That means if I tell something, the winds and the waves stop, they stop. If I tell the waters part, they part. If I tell the demon come out of him, it comes out. The Lord says, why aren't you coming? I have a free gift for you. Why won't you come? Well, maybe we got a thirst for the right things. So I looked at some other texts, and Psalms 42:2, it says, and that's why I chose the song, More Love to Thee, because I've told the Lord, my love stinks. I sort of have conditional love. In 1 Corinthians, it says, love keeps no record of wrongs. I sort of keep records sometimes. And the Lord says, well, could you imagine if God kept records on us in the sense of, you know, you're a worthless case. You know how many times I've forgiven you over this one? The Lord says, if you tell me you're sorry, I will forgive you over and over and over again because I love you. And I would say, well, man, you must not really be sorry. You wouldn't keep doing it. But then I've said to God, I am sorry, but I do keep doing it. I am truly sorry. And I'm like, that which I want to do, I don't do. And that which I hate, I find myself doing. And you know what the Lord has said to me on that one is, where's your focus? My focus was on me. I will never change any part of my life as long as I focus on me. Jesus says, and even in the song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his face. And then all this stuff starts to... Amen. It just starts to fade. But as long as I'm focused on people and what you are doing or not doing or what you're not, I am not walking in the light. Jesus says, it's me, Darla. Focus on me. I will. He says, I've begun this work in you, and I will complete that work I have started in you. And I usually say, don't you need a little help from me? And he says, would you just stand still? And I say, what can I do while I stand? I don't stand still well, Lord. I got to do something. He says, then sing and praise me while you stand. And then I say, I can do that. So can you tell God, thank you, and be praising him while he's working on you? He says, praise me. Praise me for what I'm doing. And then I can hear the tone of voice. Please believe my words. Believe me. If you don't believe and doubt, it destroys you. But if you believe, it starts giving a muscle. It gets stronger the more you believe. And he says, you can. I can? Yes, you can. Really, Lord? Yes, you can. He says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. It's not your own strength. And so then another text. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And then the text says, when can I go meet with God? So when can you go meet with God? Anytime, any place, anywhere. And I hear Jesus saying, hey man, I'm knocking at your door. I've been knocking, but you got so much music on and you got so much on, you're not hearing me. But I'm knocking at your door. And I told my son, and he just had such a big grin. I said, yeah, when he knocks at my door, I'm like, oh, let me see what I need to put away first. I can't let you in my house, Lord. You're going to see the stuff. And the Lord says, as if I can't already see the stuff. But it's because I don't trust him enough. I said, Nathan, as I develop this relationship with Jesus, I don't have any more fear. Because he doesn't condemn me. Right? What we get afraid of is that look or that condemnation or that whatever. But what he's saying is, if you trust me and you let me in your heart, I'll take care of everything. Not instantaneous. It's a process. It's a growth process. But I will take care of it. One of the others, it says, you, God, are my God. He's yours. You could put your name in there. Darla says, this is my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there's no water. On my way here, my husband and I were driving. I was looking at how dry it is here. And when I was in India and planting the seeds of whatever Jesus was telling me, it hit me. Without water, none of those seeds will grow. I panicked. It's like, Jesus, we need water. Without water, it will die. And I'm like, God, who's going to water the seeds? And he gave me this promise. Oh, man, I told God, I'm going to hold you to your word because you don't lie. So you better keep your word. And I just picture the Lord smiling, going, that's my girl. He loves me. He loves me. He loves my bluntness with him. He loves me. And this is what God said to me in Isaiah 27:3. I, the Lord, will watch over that seed. I will water it continually. I will guard it day and night so that no one may harm it. Isn't that an awesome God? So God is a God of invitation. He will protect his own seed. He will water his own seed. He will guard his own seed. And my question to you is, do you want to ask him to fill me? And if you're not thirsty for him, get real with him and ask him. Ask him to give you a thirst for him. That's the cool thing about God. He will do it all. Be real with him. Lord, I'm in trouble. I'm not even thirsty for you. I love the world too much. He can disentangle that love from the world. He can give you a love that you've never had before for him, and a love for others. And that's why I've chosen Fill My Cup, Lord. It's a song of prayer for me. It's a song of quench the thirst of my soul. I myself want to experience more of Jesus' healing of the wounds. I want more of Jesus in his love. And if this is your heart's desire, I've never done this before, but you know, you just do what God tells you to do. If you really want the Lord to fill your cup, imagine the Lord's up here. And I'd like you to get out of your seat and come toward Jesus saying, I want that living water. So as we sing, and if there's no one want to, I'm up here with him. And I'm holding my cup to him. So if you want to come forward and just say, Lord, I'm going to step forward and say, fill my cup. Let's sing. 493. Let's stand. Everyone here wants some living water. Some of us want more than others. I want a lot because I want to give a lot. And I can't give what I don't have. So, Father, give us according to the desires of our heart and that it would grow. And if we only want a little, it only takes a little to get going. But, Father, just give us a piece of you. Give us more love for you. Give us a thirst for souls, for family, for loved ones. Thank you, Father, that the gift you've given us and you said, believe. Darla, believe what I've said I will do. And you said you will save, that you will heal, and that you will restore. Thank you, Father, that your word is true and that we don't have to doubt. Thank you for the blessings of your gift, and we praise you and we accept them and we exchange our filthy rags for your robe of righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.